It's good to come into the presence of the Lord and look into His Word and preach it. Some parts of His Word is harder than others. This is one of them. So I want to make some statements before I begin and get into this part of Scripture. Some of you, if this is the first time you've been here, just know that this is not what we talk about all day long. You know, paying your pastor, okay? It really isn't. We are studying and going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and it would be so easy for me to jump this passage because it is dealing with a topic that, you know, we as pastors and as people, we kind of don't want to talk about it, you know? So I want you to understand that it is going through the Word of God, and I would be wrong if I would skip a passage that I was uncomfortable with, because it is not my word, it's God's word. So we're going to speak from chapter 1, verse 1. We need to speak in from chapter 9, verse 1 as well. And so I want you to understand that. As well, I want to make this statement very clearly that Barbara and I are well paid in this church. Not asking for a raise. Did not ask for a raise. Have not asked for a raise. We're well paid. And there's not an issue of that at all. And not only that, I want you to understand, we've been here almost 6 years now, and about 5.5 years ago, you as a congregation, those of you that were here, voted to have us as your pastor and wife. And Barbara and I as well, in our prayer time and the time during the process, made it very clear to the Lord, and He knew our hearts, that we just want to serve where He wanted us to go. And we knew long before you voted that we were very comfortable to be here. And if the Lord would have us here, it's up to your vote. That's it. I remember that day very well when I was told after the service by the head of the pastoral search committee. He called me, and I told him that we were on our way to Florida. We're leaving soon. And he made it very clear to me, please do not go yet. He wanted me to agree to coming. And I said, well, if you guys voted for us, we already sense from the Lord His leading for us to be here. And when he met up with me, he insisted I had to meet him that day. I had to. I can't go to Florida until I met with him. And so I did, across the street in the Starbucks on the other side of I-10. And he gave me a document. And he said, you got to sign this first before you go. Okay? And I want to tell you, before the Almighty God, I did not even look at the document. I have no idea what is said in it. It's just a document that says that we're willing to come. And I signed it without knowing any compensation package in it at all. Because it didn't matter to us. If God has called us here, whether it's $1 or $1 million, it doesn't make any difference. It's not a deciding factor, the compensation. So I want you guys to understand that from our heart. We have never thought about staying or not staying because of finances at all. It is always about the Lord's leading. But nevertheless, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is here. And we must look at it as a congregation, as God's people. And I hope that if you want to, go and study it later on. And you will understand what it's about. I entitled this message, Three Questions to Ponder. About Pastor's Appreciation. And by the way, this month is Pastor's Appreciation Month, October, which is really great and awesome. The Apostle Paul is interesting here. Let me give you a little background. You need to understand this. There's a phrase that we use in church terminology. It is called tent making. When you say tent making, the people who are familiar with church or church work, you understand exactly what that means. That means that you are a person who served the Lord, who serves the Lord, and you are ministering, wherever it is, whether it's a missionary, whether it's a pastor, anything whatsoever, but you are working on your own to pay your own way. That's called tent making. You say, well, that's a funny phrase. Why tent making? Why not, you know, auto making? You know, why not sandwich making, right? Why tent making? Tent making because the Apostle Paul was an expert tent maker. He would go about making tents, sewing it up, or do whatever you do with tents back in those days, and sell those tents. And out of the proceeds of his tents, He will continue to serve. And you understand that Paul was a full-time minister, more than full-time. He was an apostle. He planted so many churches. He ministered in so many ways. He spent so many hours and days and probably weeks and years in prison for the gospel. And yet he never got paid. And he always paid his own way. Now, every once in a while, people will give him gifts and all of those kind of things. But nevertheless, it was about tent making. It was doing it without pay. And so now that you understand that, it's important because the Apostle Paul is writing about this issue, about why they should be paying their ministers. If you're a pastor, if you're in ministry, in full-time ministry, or even part-time ministry, if you're a missionary, if you are an evangelist, the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, I have three questions to ask amongst the churches. So there's a lot of questions, actually. If you look at this passage, there's so many questions. Every phrase is almost a question. Paul is saying, how come, why, to the people that are reading. But I narrow it down to three categories. And the first one, the first question is found in verse 4. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to eat? Don't we have the right to have a living? And it goes on a little bit. He even says, don't we have a right to have a wife that don't have to work, that can serve together? Now, the Apostle Paul is a single guy. He's not talking about himself, actually, but he's speaking in abundance to a lot of situations. I want to tell you, sometimes in ministry, and if you're not in ministry, you can't understand it. It's just the way it is. You can have sympathy, but you can't have empathy. But this happens a lot. I remember in one meeting we had, there must have been 20, 24 people. There was a couples meeting. And we're just fellowshipping and sharing and so forth. And one of the questions was asked toward the wives. Do you enjoy serving with your husband? This was in New York City. We were there for 28 years, so a lot of experiences were there. These are mostly Asian families. And I looked out, and as I recall, I too do believe every single one of them, with the exception of one or two, and Barbara included, they were not working. They were working. Those only two or three were not working in a full-time capacity. The reason is because they're paid so low that they can't survive. They have to work so that the pastor, their husbands, can be pastors. So they're working in full-time capacity and so forth. To live in New York City, you had to. And the question was asked, do you enjoy ministry here? To a woman, with the exception of Barbara, every one of them said, we wish that our husbands would do something else. We hate it. We hate it. That's really sad. I'm not sure if church people can understand that sometimes. I'm not sure if not just this church or any church can understand the tremendous pressure that is there because of the need to provide for the family. I know that in different cultures, different. I know that amongst the Korean culture, they really treat their pastors really well. Really high pay. I mean, I think maybe too extreme. In the African-American culture, likewise. They treat the pastors really well, even though some of their culture and their settings are pretty poor. But others are not. Others are not. Amongst Chinese churches, there's a saying, and we all us pastors who are Chinese heritage understand it. They want us to be paid as low as possible because that proves their humility. That proves their humility. I'm not sure if that proves their humility. It just proves how unbiblical we are as churches. I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul asks, don't we have the right to food and drink? Isn't there something that says that we don't have to eat? Now, remember, I'm not asking for a raise here, so it's not about me here. I want to tell you some reasons that Scripture says here. You know, the Apostle Paul was an apostle. You would think that an apostle would get a pay somehow, right? You would think that all those churches that he ministered to, he even said, I am your seal. You are my seal, actually, as an apostle. I ministered to you. I did this in the name of the Lord for your benefit. You would think that they would respond back to him and say, absolutely, we want to take good care of you. They didn't. He says, I have that right. And not only that, he goes on, he says, it is normal. This is what people do. You normally take care of people that take care of you.
When people are out there, soldiers don't have to work for being a soldier. They get compensated for that. A farmer will receive this honor. He just, this is normal. And he goes on and he says, not only that, it is a biblical principle that you do that. How many churches today are just so breaking biblical principles? Now, he goes on and he quotes a principle from Deuteronomy chapter 25. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, it says that when you are using an oxen to thresh the wheat, you know what that is? In case you don't know what it is, you know what an oxen is? A big cow. They used that for labor back in those days. And wheat, you don't know what it is. You buy bread and you just assume it just comes that way. It grows bread. No, it doesn't. It grows wheat. And wheat has got all these stalks and husks and all that. And in order to get the wheat out of there, you have to kind of do things to it. And it's very tedious because there's a lot. So people can't really do it. We have equipments that do it, machinery. Back in those days, one of the things they would do is they would tie oxen and tie on its neck a long rope, and at the other end of the rope, this is what it is, they will have these big rocks, you know, as flat as can be because it doesn't need to be too heavy, but a rock. And they would just take that oxen and throw it, all the wheat that is on the ground, and the oxen will all day long just walk around it, and the rock would just kind of crush the wheat, and the husk would come out of it, eventually take it out, and they would have it. They would be able to grind it and then make bread out of it. And one of the policies and rules, all right, of the day was that you are not allowed to muzzle the oxen. Now, you have to understand, the oxen will eat the wheat. That's what they eat. And so if you want that oxen to work, you cannot be so cruel to muzzle his mouth so he can't eat anything. So he's going to walk and walk and walk. Can you imagine how horrible it is to be hungry, to work, and yet you can't eat any of that? Even for an animal's sake. The law of the land in the Jewish way and also other cultures, you are not allowed to muzzle the oxen. That's animal cruelty. And so, Paul said, do you think they were talking about oxen? Do you think God is talking about oxen? No, he's talking about you and me. We're talking about people who serve the Lord. They should not be muzzled. And so, Paul says, first question, don't we have a right to food and drink? I think all of us will answer, absolutely they do, absolutely. The second thing, question, if we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? That's a good question, right? I wonder what we think about that, serious. You see, we have a real tendency to value products according to what we pay for it, right? So most of us here have probably Toyotas and Hondas. You're not paying $100,000 for a Honda Accord, all right? I have a Honda Accord. It cost me $25,000. If it's $100,000, like, what crazy? This is a Honda. But if you have a Tesla, I'll pay $100,000 for that, right? Because we value it. So what are we valuing when we talk about the spiritual dimension? We don't really value the spiritual at all. We don't value eternity. Here is a man of God. Here's a woman of God who is ministering to you, may even led you to the Lord and brought to you the kingdom of God in your life, gave to you, by God's grace, eternity. And you're not really sure how much you want to value that. You know, here's a person to disciple you, that work with your kids, that work with your youth, you know, that work with your children. You're not really sure what you're going to value that on. Because you see, I'd rather pay $43,000 to send my kids to Baylor University because I value teachers there a lot more than what I value in the church. Think about that. You say, oh, no, Pastor, that's not true. Really? You got to see where you are putting your values in. And so churches, you know, we understand. A lot of churches that are small and can't do much. Like when we started our church, there was only 15 teenagers there. I mean, what are they going to do? They can't even, they have nothing to give, even to tithe, you know. We understand that. But there are churches that have plenty. but they don't value the spiritual dimension. They allow their pastors and the minister to go poor.
I remember the first church we were in, we started a second congregation, an English congregation, but the church existed already. And you know what? They offered me a salary. I didn't know what it was. We took the job before we came. God already called us there. And then about a week later, I asked an elder, he says, well, by the way, do we have a salary?
He said, yeah, you have. We're giving you $300 a month living in New York City. I said, thank you very much.
And the Lord helped us survive on $300 a month in New York City. I didn't mind. I thought the church was really poor. Then I found out they had $70,000 in the bank, just in the savings. Just didn't want to give it or pay the pastor for it. Because, you see, they didn't value what we did. Ministering to the young people, ministering for the spiritual welfare of the people is not valuable, you see. Something else is much more valuable. We have to be careful about that. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, those who are ministering, whether our missionaries that are going with IMB, whether people that are ministering in InterVarsity, whether in Campus Crusade, all these people that we encourage people to do, to go into ministry, we have to value who they are and what they do. And the scripture is very clear. They've sown spiritual seed among you, and that blossoms into eternity. Should that not equate to some value from us? To say, that is so precious. And you say, well, what is the value? Interesting, the Apostle Paul doesn't say it, but I want to tell you that in 1 Timothy, he gives a value, in case anybody cares. He says, you know, those who minister, particularly those who preach the word of God, who shares and teach and teaches and so forth, they should be doubly careful, a double portion. That's what he says. I don't know many churches that would do that, to give a double portion to the ministers, you know. But that's what the scripture says. Let me go to the third question. Okay. What then is my reward? This is important. In case you're sitting there and say, okay, Pastor Dan, that's enough, you know. You bashed us enough, you know, we'll do better. That's not the point. The Apostle Paul ends it by saying this. He says, what then is my reward? Did you begin paying me? They never paid Paul. Did you pay me more? They didn't pay him anything, so what good is that? He says, my reward has nothing to do with any of this. He says, though it is my right, and I have the freedom for it, I am not going to insist on it, because the whole point of this passage is that I am free by God's grace, but I'm not going to exercise my freedom. He says, I don't want it. You know why? Because I am doing ministry in such a way that if I insisted on it, and people heard, oh, Paul is here, he wants a salary, I am going to ruin the gospel message. That's what he's saying. Because in the midst of all this stuff, there are still a lot of people who think that those who are in the ministry is in the ministry only for money. And Paul said, no, 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 no. I would rather die than lose that opportunity. So we as pastors, I want you to know, I hope all, we should never care and we don't care about what the pay is. It has nothing to do with it. Because the passion that we have been called into the ministry for is the passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am here standing before you. I've spent 38 years as a pastor because I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ that people need to hear. And if they can hear it from me, if they can see it through my life, my action, that Jesus Christ loves them and he's a real, real being. He's the Son of the living God, and that they can give their lives to him and be saved. That's my passion. That's my reward. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. That is my reward. What then is my reward? No, no, no. It's not a big retirement somewhere in the island of Crete or something like that. No, no. It is about Jesus Christ winning people to himself through what I do. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. You know, when I evaluate pastors, and I've done that a lot, not really in this church, but before that, it doesn't take very long for me to know a real good pastor from not a real good one, almost immediately.
when they begin to ask about rewards, you know, when they begin to ask about what is my compensation, when they begin to negotiate the pay, you know, when they begin to do all those things, and when some pastors I even know, friends of mine, that have resigned, and they're only so that they can get a better pay raise. The church said, no, don't resign, we'll give you a raise. Okay, I'll stay. Oh my goodness, it doesn't take very long for me to know that, you know what, their passion is not the gospel. Their passion is their welfare. And I want to tell you, as a pastor, from this end of it, that is unacceptable in every which way. Because we answer to the Almighty God. He has called us to minister the good news of Jesus Christ, regardless of compensation. He will always take care of us. From the church end, that's the other side. That's what Paul is talking about. But I want to tell you that that is what we do. And the moment that I'm thinking about my pay is the moment I should resign and leave. Because I've lost my passion for Jesus Christ, my passion for the gospel message. That's what we need to do. I want to tell you as well, the passage here, to our church, it's a commandment from the Lord. The Lord commands it, that the church should take care of the ministers. And so here, we have staff here. I want our church to take care of our staff. It's important. And I'll share it with other people. Other churches say, you got to take care of your pastors and staff. Those are the first and most important things. I want to say also as well as this, you know, everything that we do, every action we take, every words we say, we are accountable to God. And so those that are in S&F committee, those of you that are in personnel committee, those of you that are in church council, those of you that are deacons, just know that how you treat your pastors and your ministers, you will answer to the Lord. And I hope that all of you will answer to the Lord, and he'll say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. And that is really important. I want to ask you to pray with me. As we consider these things, Father, I want to come before you to thank you that, you're giving me the grace to preach this passage. You know how difficult it is for me to stand here to speak these things. But Lord God, these are your words. I pray, Lord God, that you would teach us as a church, as individuals, as your people, to value those who have been committed to serving you. Oh, Lord, give us opportunity to bless them. Give us opportunity to thank you for them. Lord, I want to thank you for the staff that are here, the pastors and ministers that are in CBC. I want to pray that you will take care of them. That you will use our church, Lord, to take care of them. That we will be able to stand before you and know that we have done good by you in ministering to those who have chosen to serve you in full-time ministry. Thank you so much in your name.